Good afternoon. My name you threw me off. Whoa. Anyways, welcome to the Action Drug Rehab Hour. I'm Kerry Quashin. I am your host. Hope everybody had a great weekend. I'm here today. I got my co-host Robbie Robinson with me. Hey, Robbie. And you know what? I don't even know where I want to start. My mind went somewhere else in the beginning. But I'm with you guys, and I'm really excited that you guys are here. Because I, working in treatment, I've been doing this now for, gosh, over 40 years. And the last couple of years, and people have been hearing me scream about this, we're losing more people than I've ever seen anything in my life before. And people are coming in and dying. And you guys got a lot of guts, not just to come into rehab, but to be here too. And to deal with the stuff. I was talking with you earlier, and you say, you know what, now I'm sober, now life's happening. And life's not so freaking easy, is it?
No, it's not.
No, sir.
You know, I'm going to talk to each one of you a little bit first, and try to make time for everybody, because you guys all got great stories, and a couple of you guys, I mean, came close to not living anymore. So Let's get your message out and give some hope. Ryan, I've known you for a while.
Yes, you have.
And I've seen you go through a lot. But this time, you look like you were going to die. I mean, literally, I mean, we were all pretty worried about you, as we worry about all you guys. But you and Patrick look like, I mean, the light of the living dead.
The last 9 months were pretty rough on me before I came back in.
Let's hear your story, buddy.
So this is not my first go at the rodeo. It's my second time with Action, my fifth treatment.
Your fifth treatment, huh?
My fifth treatment in 5 years. Mm. You know, I'm 32 years old, married.
Do me a favor, guys. He didn't get the memo. The party's over. Can y'all write him a memo? Just say party's over.
Yeah, that's what my wife keeps telling me.
Well, she's right.
She's right, and my daughter too. I have an 11-year-old daughter. And, you know, I got started with all this,
Do they have life insurance on you?
Oh, God.
No, they should.
I hope so.
Because if you don't make it, you're going to be dead.
It's tough, man. And,
What's tough?
What's tough is being out there.
Explain.
It's a constant battle between trying to stay alive and trying to die, is what it feels like.
Explain.
You know, I
want to hear, because that's the reality of it.
That is the reality of it. I was out there, and I was using fentanyl and meth, and that's what people are dying of, Kerry, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like to say they balance each other out, but they really are effective together at just absolutely killing your emotion, you know, killing your body. Every day that I woke up, it was like, you know, today could be the day. Today could be the day, but if it's not, then man, I got to get up and I got to get out there and I got to go get this stuff.
First thing you think about in the morning is, where am I going to get my dope?
That's right.
How am I going to get it today?
Yeah.
If I don't get it, I'm going to be sick.
Real sick.
If I'm going to be sick, I want to die.
That's right.
I can't handle the pain.
That's right. And even if you know, even if I've got it, then how am I going to get more? Always just the first thing and the last thing and the only thing on my mind. And you know, it's almost like you forget all about everything else. You know, you put your life on hold, and at the same time, you know, you're gambling with it. It's playing Russian roulette every time. And I mean, I have absolutely overdosed. I've come very, very close to losing my life more than once.
What happened?
You know, when I got onto fentanyl, I used to be using heroin. And when fentanyl hit Santa Clarita about 2.5 years ago, I'd say, real hard. And I remember I went to my guy and he said, there is no more heroin. This is fentanyl.
And let's get that straight, guys, that are anyone listening, is any of the drugs that you get today isn't going to be anything but fentanyl.
Oh, fentanyl's in everything.
And that's what it's going to be. If you're buying crystal meth, it's going to be cut with fentanyl. We're actually bringing people in rehab on crystal meth that we have to detox off fentanyl.
Absolutely.
Figure that out. we've had overdoses from ecstasy because fentanyl was in there, and Xanax is fentanyl, and Ativan and Adderall, fentanyl. So every time you buy anything out there, you're gambling with your life. Go ahead, Ryan.
I mean, they're even sprinkling it on the pot.
No. What happens, I'll talk more about that later.
Okay.
But that's what – we'll get into that, but it's not intentional.
It was just I came very close to dying the first several times that I tried fentanyl, and yet I just kept coming back. I mean, it had me. It had me. I was a slave.
What's it like overdosing?
It's really scary, man.
Even though you don't get to see what everyone else gets to see.
No, I mean, honestly.
When you guys overdose, you don't see what happens. Here's what you know. I got loaded, and that's all I remember. And now everybody's standing over me, and somebody just Narcan me, and the 911 is here, and I don't know what happened.
And they're all freaking out.
Because they saw you fall down to the floor, can't breathe, your heart stops. You start gargling, your gases are coming out of your mouth, you start foaming. You don't see that stuff.
I wake up and what are you guys all freaking out about?
Exactly.
You know, it's what everybody else really is. Everybody around you is really who experiences your overdose.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it was scary, but not even scary enough for me to pause. I mean, you wake up and you're sick because you just got Narcan. You know, you're in instant withdrawal. And the first thought is...
So if it wasn't for Narcan, you'd be dead.
Oh, absolutely.
How many times?
Well, I've overdosed about 5 times. The worst one took 4 doses of Narcan to wake me up.
And you're lucky somebody had 4 doses. Not always do they have that.
Correct. Absolutely.
So you're kind of like a freaking walking miracle, aren't you?
I feel like one.
And if you had 9 lives, you used them all.
Oh, they're all gone. Yeah. I've used up all the luck. And all that's left to do is...
Do you guys remember when he came in? Remember what it was like? What was he like?
Yeah, he was pretty tired and sleepy and sick.
Very sick, crying, very dope, whining, and begging.
Yeah, he
pleading,
was bucking at everything.
Everything you could imagine he was. It was pretty bad.
It was pretty bad.
And you were in jail for a few days first.
6 days.
And you still were kicking. That's what people don't understand about this fentanyl drug. It takes a while before you really start going through those serious withdrawals. And every day it gets worse and worse and worse before you could even get the medicine.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm a really smart guy. So, of course, when I said I'm...
What? I was going to call him Waldo. Yeah.
While I was in jail, you know, I was obviously withdrawing. And even though I know... You know, not to take any of the meds too soon because of how long the half-life is with fentanyl and how long it takes for that withdrawal to start.
If we give somebody Suboxone or Subutex or any of that stuff too soon, it puts them in immediate withdrawals.
Yeah.
So it has to.
It's bad.
36 to 48 hours minimum wait. And that's when the pain starts.
Yeah. But of course, I jumped the gun because I was in jail and I was miserable and I wanted something. And man,
didn't work, did it?
No, I got so sick, man.
I saw.
Couldn't have made it any worse. Oh man,
a lot of people come into rehab and they say, "Yeah, I haven't used in 3 days because they want that Suboxone." And we give you say, "Are you sure?" And they say, "Yes." And we give it to them and they feel like they're dying.
You better be sure, man.
Yeah, it just makes it a whole lot worse. But that's also what stops a lot of people from coming into rehab. They're scared of that pain. So let me ask you something. I'm not going to get through your whole story. I just want to know what you're going to do different.
You know what?
What do you think? Huh? Yeah? What do you need to do different? Go on. Let's hear it.
I'll tell you what. I need to humble myself. And I humble myself to the power of my disease. I mean, it's something that I don't think I fully grasped until this time, and just being humble in general and learning to take direction, which is something I've always struggled with personally.
Do you want to live or die? I'm dead serious.
I want to live so bad.
Why?
Because, man, I love life. I love my wife and my daughter. I have so much going for me. Life is amazing, man. Yeah. When I'm sober.
What's your daughter's name?
Mia.
You know she's going to see this show.
I hope so.
What are you going to say to her?
I love you, baby. I'm doing this for me, but I'm doing this for you too.
And your wife.
Of course. My wife knows, everything I've been through. We've been together since I was 17, and she's watched me before this. She's watched me through this, and she's watching me come out of this. And, I'm doing this so we can have a life.
How old are you now?
I'm 32.
It's time, huh?
That's it. Party's over.
So what's your plan?
My plan is to stay put. Stay right where I am in treatment. Continue to take direction. Continue to take this a day at a time. I mean, I'm working a program this time. Actually working a program this time. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, you are. I mean, I'll give you that. You seem to be really trying. And I know you've been in a lot of rehab stuff before. And you know how to talk the talk and walk the walk. But it's time to do the deal now.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I've been to a whole lot of funerals in the last couple of years, and I surely don't want to go to yours. And the worst part about going to funerals is when somebody that loves you comes up and gives me a hug and says, thanks for trying.
Yeah.
I had so many thanks for trying. It almost makes me nauseous when it happens.
So, I bet.
So you're worth more than this. Your family's definitely worth more.
I agree.
And you know I love you. You know I'm proud of you. I'm just giving you a hard time because, I mean, I got to.
Somebody's got to.
You guys want to say anything to him before we move
Keep
on?
Keep up the good work, Ryan.
Thanks, Keep guys. Up, appreciate you. Thank you.
How many days sober you got now?
I have 27 days sober
All
today.
Right. See, that's a freaking miracle. It is.
It is. Absolutely.
I know. When you came in, you looked like you, I'm seriously, I mean, I've seen you before. This time was about as bad as I've seen. What happened?
This time was definitely worse than I've ever felt. Mentally, physically, I've never been more beat up in my life. When I left your facility from an AA meeting and got in an Uber, I don't know what I was thinking. I thought...
You weren't.
I wasn't clearly thinking at all. I just wanted to go see the girl that I loved. And I thought that that was a smarter decision than staying in an AA meeting, which clearly it was not. I didn't stay sober... That night, went to Tarzana, got out, moved in with my ex-girlfriend, immediately started using, lying to her, just stealing her B12 needles. She had no idea. And started shooting up any chance I can get, any chance that, you know, she wasn't looking or because... You know, she was fine with smoking, but she wasn't fine with me shooting out, which I can understand.
What were you doing?
Straight meth. This time was just meth, and I wasn't really too familiar with meth use. It was always, any time I ever used meth was with fentanyl.
You looked like you were going to die. We were very worried about it. Not only did you look like you were going to die, you were in outer space.
Yeah, I am.
You weren't even living in reality. You were in a fantasy land. You're just now coming out of this fantasy land.
Yeah, and I was not okay. I had more track marks on me than I've ever had. I looked like death. I felt like death. I stayed up for 6 days. Even while I was at the center, you know, I wasn't clean for the first couple days I was here. I need to get honest about how bad my mental state was and how bad my cravings are. My cravings are through the roof. I am struggling mentally very, very bad. And I know that if I continue or if I even go out again, I'm dead. There's no doubt in my mind that I'll be dead.
And we all know that.
You know, I came really close this time to, you know, whether it be from putting a needle in my arm or by my own hand of, you know, and you just asked Ryan if you wanted to live, and I'm sitting there thinking in my head, I'm like, I don't know how to really answer that half the time, because half the time I do, half the time I don't. Mental health and depression have really wreaked havoc on me, and, you know, I hurt the people that I love the most, and... I'm ashamed of a lot of the things I did on this last run. It wasn't me, but at the end of the day, I'm still responsible for my actions. And I really need to own up to that.
You know how you forgive yourself?
I don't know.
Tell you a secret, and then Robbie can. Here's how you do it. When you stop doing the things that make you feel bad about yourself, you then can start forgiving yourself. As long as you continue to do the things that make you feel bad, you can't feel better. So the trick now is to change everything. where you hang out, your friends, your thoughts, your actions, everything. And when you do that and you start doing things that are good for you and for people around you, you then could start saying, well, maybe I'm not such a bad guy. Maybe it was the drugs. And you could start forgiving yourself. But as long as you're doing things that make you feel bad, guess what? You're going to feel bad. Make sense? So do it. Here's what you guys got to do now. Everything different. Everything good. And when I got clean, I've been clean 42 years, I had to weigh everything out. If I do this, this is what's going to happen. If I do this, this is how I'm going to feel. I can't do that because I'll feel bad. If I do that, I'm going to hurt somebody. If I do this, I'm going to hurt me. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So weigh everything out now. In general, you're a good guy. We all know that. But alcohol and drugs make good people do bad things, turn great dreams into nightmares, and makes good people do horrible stuff. Then we get sober and we feel all that stuff comes on us and we, my God, I'm a terrible person. How about you be mad at the alcohol and drugs, not you? They're the enemy.
But they also make you feel better.
Do they really? You wouldn't
short
be,
term.
You would not be here if it did.
Short term, but right? when all that guilt hits you and you're sitting there with nothing but your own thoughts, how do you?
By doing what you did, coming into rehab. Doing what you're supposed to do, talking to these guys, everything. Why? How long you been here?
I couldn't tell you.
Almost about a week and a half.
Yeah.
So, doing just what you've done because you're sitting through all that pain right now, and you're doing it. And you know what? I mean, it's great when you first start using drugs. It works. It feels good, but it stops working
quickly.
It don't work anymore. Your game with drugs is over. You could keep trying, and it's going to keep doing the same thing. Why else would you go to rehab again? Because it wasn't working anymore.
No, it clearly wasn't working. I've been at 30 residential treatment centers in my life, and I'm like, how do you? I'm having a hard time picking myself back up again.
Well, that's what we're here for.
Yeah.
What are you willing to do to move forward?
I'm willing to do anything.
So what is anything?
Anything is, I think the best decision I can make is just listen to direction at this point and stop listening to my own brain.
There he goes, Robbie.
You have your own answers, and living in the past is dangerous for your future.
Yeah.
He can't change yesterday.
No.
He can't change an hour ago, but you sure can make sure that today is different and tomorrow's better. Mm-hmm. You got that power.
You have to be willing. You have to be willing to give up something to get life. What are you willing to give up to move forward? That's what I tell all my fighters. What are you willing to give up? Are you willing to give up alcohol? Are you willing to give up vaping? Are you willing to give up to move forward in your life? It's not going to be, well, I'm going to stop now. We know that it is a process. We know that. We're here to help you with the process so that when you're on your own, you can make strong decisions and you can do it. You can do it. You don't think you can, but you can do it. You can do it. You can make very strong decisions.
Hey, he's doing it. You know, that's what you got to. That's what you got to figure out, man. We all got today. That's it. Tomorrow's not here yet, and yesterday's history.
Oh.
So today, you guess what? What time did you wake up?
6 o'clock.
So I woke up at 7. You know what that means? You got 1 hour more sobriety today than I do. Awake time. I have a lot more years.
Yes.
But you still got today, and that's what counts. So do me a favor. Put your hand up in the air. Put your hand up. Pat yourself on the back for today and say good job.
Good job.
Exactly.
I just feel very guilty about making my drug habit and my drug use a part of someone else's and continuing to use, even though someone else didn't want to use. So
guess what? Be the role model and example now to stop.
Yeah,
you can change you, and I can't fix you, and I can't fix him, and I can't fix you guys, but what I can do is be a role model and example for you guys, and that I will do, and I hope some of me rubs off on you guys.
Thank you, Kerry.
Because I hope that you never have to go through this pain again, and I promise you two things. Well, promise number one, if you continue to use, either you're going to die, go crazy, or just disappear. Mm-hmm. I promise you worse. If you stay clean and sober, I promise you better. I promise you that. So the choice is yours, better or worse. And right now, you're doing fine. So give yourself that credit. So yes, how much time sober do you got? He's got about a week and a half, don't he? How long has he been here?
Yeah.
About a week and a half?
About.
Yeah, we're not done with you. We're just done with you for right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to come back to you. So, grab the mic. Introduce yourself. Tell us about you. I want to do you a little different, but you start.
I'm Julianne, and I am an alcoholic, an addict. Pretty much, I was sober during the pandemic for 2 years, which is...
That's a rough time.
Extraordinary.
Sober, you know that?
Yeah. But I did it, and then I had... What took me out was I had a major surgery. Was pumped with Dilaudid, given Norcos, Percocets, Oxycontin. When I went to all the doctors I could to get more, and I ran out, where do you think I went?
You're going to tell us right after our break.
All right.
This is the Action Drug Rehab Hour. I'm Kerry Quashin. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Action Drug Rehab Hour here on KHTS AM 1220 and 98.1 FM. I'm Kerry Quashin. I am your host, and Robbie Robinson's my co-host today with me, and we are talking to you guys. We just talked to Patrick. We're getting you next.
All right.
Ryan went, and you're on.
Yeah, thank you. So first, I just want to say I'm grateful to be here and be on this show to share my experience. Hope it helps someone out there. So to continue with that, guess where I went?
Well, let's start from the beginning because people might just be coming in. Also want to say special hello to the Action Drug Rehab. They're listening right now, so I'm getting text messages from them. You guys know them. But anyways.
Okay, yeah. So just to recap.
So let's go back up
a second.
You were walking down the street. You were 12 years old. You looked up into the sky, and a bottle of whiskey fell into your hand and said, drink me. Is that what happened?
That's how it works.
Yeah, right.
How did it start?
How it started, well...
it didn't fall from the sky?
Yeah, well, just to recap... I started drinking at age 9.
Pretty young.
My mother was, we had to go institutionalized. She was institutionalized, manic depression, bipolar. And, so I was, you know, stressed out, and her boyfriend was taking care of me for about a month. And one night he said, you know, just to calm your nerves down, I'll give you a wine cooler. Mm-hmm. I had that wine cooler. I felt the best I've ever felt in my life. And I said, give me another one. Mm. He said, no. And I threw a tantrum. I said, give me another one. I need more, more, and more. And that's where the isms, the alcoholisms start.
9 years old.
Yeah, 9 years old. Then I went straight to meth when I was 15 years old.
So you were at school. You know, and you guys can help me with this, but all drug abuse and alcoholism really starts innocently. Mm-hmm. You know, we have contracts when we're young. Y'all remember these? When I grow up, I want to be a cop. Mm-hmm. I want to be a radio show host, or I want to be a doctor or cop. You know, then we have another set of contracts. Remember these? When I grow up, I'll never.
The nevers.
Yeah.
That's what I always said. I'm never going to do meth.
What happened?
Went to a friend's house. Everybody was doing it there. And I said, oh, you know, I'll just try it this one time. Then I got immediately addicted. And
what people don't understand about meth, you can help them understand one, but it's a shortcut to the pleasure zone of your brain. You hit it, and bang.
It is. You feel more confident. You have more self-esteem. You just feel like you could take over the world on meth. And so I was addicted to that for 5.5 years.
First time you used it, weren't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 5 years of a run on that, that must have been interesting.
Yes, and then I switched to, well, it's always been alcohol. Alcohol is my drug of choice, my DOC. Mm-hmm. And did cocaine, acid, heroin, you name it, I've done it. So, and like I said earlier, during the pandemic, I was sober for 2 years.
Why did you get sober? What happened?
What I thought was my rock bottom.
What was it?
My husband had to call 911 because I blacked out and passed out from too much alcohol and had to be carried out on a stretcher with my daughters watching.
Alcohol poisoning.
Yes.
You could have died.
Yes.
How old's your daughter?
I have two daughters, 11 and 15.
That must have been rough.
Yeah. So they've seen a lot of what has been going on. And so, like I was saying, you know, I had a surgery, got pumped with all these painkillers.
Yep.
And I'm not a pill popper kind of gal. But after
but
that...
you have an addictive personality kind of girl.
Yep. So after that, it was... it all happened. So once I went through all my doctors and they said no more painkillers, I went straight to the streets. What I thought was Norco...
See, that's what I just want to quickly say. Right at the beginning of the pandemic, doctors stopped writing prescriptions. People were leaving hospitals. They were on Dilaudid. They were on other pain medications. And they hit the streets and they gave them a very minimal amount of pain meds. And what they don't really help you understand is that these pills are great for pain for a short period of time, but if you use them any long period of time, your body now becomes addicted. Now you're not getting the pills from the doctors. Where do you get them?
On the streets.
And what is it?
Fentanyl.
Period.
Yeah, what I thought was Norco was fentanyl. And after taking fentanyl for about 6 months, I decided one night, oh, I'm going to take a little more pills. And this was with a, you know, whole bunch of alcohol too. And I ended up, stopped breathing and died for 2 minutes and I had to be revived. And it actually, it is on video.
Is it?
My husband recorded it. So I have seen it. And it, I can't even recognize myself.
Tell us what you saw.
Well, my face was black and blue. There's my eyes were rolled back. There was no life.
Yeah. They did CPR.
Yeah.
And Narcan.
Yeah. And even that wasn't enough, Carrie. After that happened, I said, you know what? I'm just going to try it in smaller portions, moderate it. So I tried fentanyl again. And the withdrawals are, you feel like death. So that's what pretty much stopped me from doing it again. Plus, I couldn't get it on the streets anymore.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
It dried up. That's interesting.
Yeah, it dried up. So then the alcohol just, you know, progressively got worse.
What were you drinking?
I'm a wine drinker. It's all about the wine. I'm a blackout drunk. Every time I drink on a daily basis. So I would do things that I wouldn't remember. I'd get extremely aggressive. And so that would ultimately, I would end up, I've been in the psych ward the past year and a half, 17 times. This is my 7th rehab in 3 years. Because I cannot stop.
Well, let's change that. Because you know what? How many days sober do you have?
I have 11 days.
Don't you ever tell me you cannot stop then. Because you've already stopped.
I can't stop alone. I need support. I need the fellowship. Yeah.
Don't ever say you can't because you are doing it.
Yeah.
You're doing today what a lot of people cannot do. You got 11 days sober. Give her a hand. Isn't that cool? Seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
11 days, man.
Thank you.
Bat yourself on the back. That's be right. Proud yeah. of yourself. Say good job.
I am proud of myself.
You better be.
I am. Thank you.
So go on.
Yeah, so, you know, this, at Action, this is my first time at Action, and it's a different kind of program. You know, they're more personal. You guys, you know, really talk with us and try to figure out what we're going to do different this time. And this is what I need.
Yeah.
One of the staff members, you know, we did a 5.5-hour session, steps 1 through 3. And at the end, we got on our knees and prayed.
I bet you I know who that was.
Yeah.
That would be Brian, huh?
That would be Brian.
I think he might be listening if you want to say anything.
To me, it was a miracle because I felt different. Like this time, it's going to be different. I can do it.
You can do it. You are doing it.
I am doing it.
I want you to change that. I can do. I am.
I am.
What's your name?
Julianne.
Repeat after. I know that, but I want you to repeat after me. My name is.
My name is Julianne.
And I'm freaking worth it.
And I'm freaking worth it.
Say it again.
My name is Julianne. and I'm frickin' worth it.
Say it louder.
My name is Julianne, and I'm frickin' worth it.
That's what I want to hear. And don't you ever forget that.
Amen.
Ever. Ever forget that. And you got 11 days. Don't you ever say you can't, because you already proved you can.
And I will.
You are.
I am.
Yeah, that's right. So what's the plan? What are you going to do different now?
Well,
I don't want you in another rehab.
No, I'm staying. I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving.
Okay, we're going to keep you forever. Yeah,
that's the plan, is I'm not leaving until I'm ready. Yeah, so you're stuck with me.
Oh, I think we could handle that. What do you want to say to your family? I know they're going to see this.
I just want to say to my husband and my two beautiful daughters, I love you very much. And I just want to be present for you again. I don't want you to feel abandoned from your mom. And, you know, I'm working really hard. I'm doing this for myself, because if I can't stay sober for myself, then I can't be there for anybody else.
You know what, Towns? How long have you been married?
15 years.
This guy's a freaking saint. Should I give him a plaque?
Yes. Yes.
He must love you a lot.
Yeah, he does. He's supportive.
Is he?
Yeah.
You kids?
Yes.
Now, you know what? I bet you're a great mom, too, when you're sober.
I am a great mom.
Good deal.
I am.
So we got this, don't we?
We do.
You know, you got to remember this. People that comes to rehab, this is the hardest part for all of you guys, is it's an all or nothing deal. If you don't drink anything or use anything, life gets better. If you think, because I drank wine, I can now drink tequila. If I drank tequila, I can now smoke weed. I use Vicodin, now I can use meth. You're going to end up in big trouble. Right. It's an all or nothing thing. If you don't drink or use anything, I promise you a better life. I promise it to you, Patrick. It's a promise. If you don't, what happened to you this time is going to be a whole lot freaking worse. So, and yeah, it can get worse.
One of the things you have to remember real quick is if you draw, you draw close to, one of the things that you have to remember is that if you draw close to God, he'll draw close to you, and he will help you with your sobriety. Because he will put people in your life. I didn't want to go over what I told you when we were over there, but that offer's still there. It's not going to be easy. Anything, you know, nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm. So if you're enthusiastic about your sobriety, God will open the doors for you and put people in your life to help you.
Amen.
Amen.
Guess who's on?
My name's Gerald. Gerald.
I knew that.
Yes.
Jerry.
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 Jerry. You like Jerry better. Yeah, I know Jerry. That too. So tell us what's going on with you, Jerry.
I'm 42 years old.
Give him the same memo, please.
I started drinking when I was 15. You know, all started as fun games. A lot of good times associated with, you know, alcohol, drinking as a teenager. At least I thought so, you know.
It was at the time.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm one of those, I'm an alcoholic and an addict. It developed into a progressive beast. You know what I mean? I was the guy who would keep on and, you know, everybody else would stop. I'd just keep going. And I was also, as well as you guys were talking about earlier, one of those type of dudes that I'll never do that, I'll never do this.
All those, you know, contracts we break.
Yeah,
huh?
So cocaine progressed to meth. Meth progressed to, I mean, I've tried everything, you know. I mean, I've done that other stuff. Anyways, long story short is it gets worse, you know.
Yeah.
You start doing things, you know, start administering it in different ways that you said you'd never do, and you're trying to function and manage life, and it just sometimes, you know, it just all comes tumbling down. You know, I've been to institutions and jails, and this is my fourth attempt at getting clean and sober. And you know, it's not easy, but you know, the party's over, like you said. I'm 42 years old, and I'm missing out on anything out there, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to start a new life.
As you know, probably as well as I know, people that you grew up with that are drinking and using, they're going to end up in prisons or dead or sober and clean.
And that's no way to live.
I mean, that's just the way it is, especially today. So, you got to figure out what it is you want from your life.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. And I think when I got clean, I had a year clean, mm-hmm. and I was thinking about, I'll never forget, I was in my car, I was thinking about it, and I was saying, wow, never before, never again will I ever allow anything to have the power, physically and emotionally, that alcohol and drugs did over me again. Mm-hmm. If I didn't get anything else but that freedom, it was mm-hmm. worth it. And when I go to bed at night, I was feeling pretty good. When I woke up in the morning, I was excited. I wouldn't like that.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. I think I am excited about getting sober this time around. You know, I had a little slip up, you know, a little incident over the weekend, but I'm optimistic and I'm positive about it. You know, about what I know, what I want to do, yeah. and what I'm gonna do. So, but back to the relationship thing, you know, those things always take us out, man, you know, because we're all, I mean, at least I can speak for myself, I'm an individual who just wants to be loved, but I don't even know how to love myself, so, you know, and
yeah,
I'm coming to terms with that now. It took me 42 years to
I'll tell you how to love yourself. To
understand this stuff.
The way you can start loving yourself is first of all, surround yourself with good people.
Yes.
That can love you until you can love yourself.
And God.
And sure. Second of all, stop doing the things that make you not care about yourself.
Mm-hmm. That part, yes.
Yeah, if doing stuff out there makes what you're doing makes you feel bad, don't do it no more.
Yeah.
Do you have children?
No, sir, I do not. No children.
But I'll tell you one thing. I don't know you well. I know you from rehab, and mm-hmm. we never really spoke, but we speak sometimes in passing. You're a great guy.
Yeah.
I like talking to you, man.
Thank you.
You just don't know it. Start. Yeah. Stop treating yourself badly and start treating yourself like you're important and you matter.
Yeah.
Because you do.
No, I do.
I know you do.
I'm learning to love myself more and more, you know. And it's taken a while. Some, you know, I guess I'm a late bloomer, I guess. I don't know, but yeah.
It's never too late, though.
Yeah, exactly.
It's never too late to do this thing.
Yeah.
You know?
So I got one day today, man. So, you know what I mean? Starting over.
That's it.
So.
You went home for a minute, didn't you? Mm-hmm. I'm glad you came back.
Yeah, I came back.
I'm glad you came back.
Keep coming back.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of courage to come back.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Yeah, I almost didn't, but I'm here. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And I honestly, you know, like, Carrie, you know, like, you're an inspiration, you know? You know, like, to like a gentleman like myself, you know, so what you do for everybody is awesome. And
you know what the difference between you and I is? I'm a little bit older, just a little.
Yeah.
And I've been clean and sober longer, that's it. I'm no different or better than you.
Yeah.
You're the same as me. And you're just as strong as I was. And you can do this thing.
I got this.
And you're freaking worth it.
I got this, yes, sir. I am.
Yeah. On that note, let's take a break. This is the Action Drug Rehab Hour. We will be right back. Welcome back to the Action Drug Rehab Hour. I'm Kerry Quashin. You know, I was sitting here thinking, sometimes I bring people that are in rehab or just got to rehab again or been in other ones, and I bring them onto the show. And it's I'm real careful who I pick to come on, because sometimes it can be an ego thing. But if you guys are humble and you're serious, then I think it's a really good message. And I'll tell you, I've been doing this for about 40 years, and I've seen, it's for some strange reason, when I bring people on shows or TVs or radios, they just do better. And I can't figure out why. Maybe it's because you're being honest to everybody.
That's right.
And you get to look at your show afterwards and all that kinds of stuff. But I'm super proud of you, and I want you all to know there is no reason that you can't do this thing. If you get your mind to feel, to understand, I can't drink or use anything, and it goes from your head to your heart, you got this. But it's got to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't play with it. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I can't remember the word, but anyways, doing the right thing when no one's looking.
Mm-hmm.
That's what counts. When you're out in the streets and you're passing a liquor store and somebody, you're at a party and somebody says, hey, and you know no one's going to know. That's when it counts. That's called integrity.
Yes, sir.
And that's when you make the right decisions, or you walk away, or you do the right thing, or you call somebody. You know, integrity is doing the same, doing the right thing when no one's looking.
That's right.
Go on.
Well, I was going to say, you know, even if you hide, like I'm an isolated drinker, I'm a closet drinker. and, you know, hopefully no one would find out that I was drinking as much as I would, but I knew that God knows.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bring that God word in because that's he right. sees it.
God and you know.
The highest power.
And that's the kind of thing I was talking about earlier. When you do those kinds of things, you can't feel good. So what happens is you drink all night, you wake up in the morning, you feel real bad, and the only thing that's going to make you feel better is what?
Another drink.
Another drink, but then you do it again, and it becomes this vicious cycle until it just don't work anymore. And then something terrible happens. You know, you wake up, you don't want to live anymore, your kids are off, you got arrested, whatever the deal is. And people change when they have to.
Yeah, through my last relapse here for a year and a half, I attempted suicide 7 times. And that was just through drinking and popping pills and, you know.
I'm sure happy that you didn't succeed.
Yes.
Me too.
And I believe that God has plans for you.
God was telling you to get a new job.
Yeah. And he sent you a memo. I guess he needs to send you another one. That you're worth more than that.
That's right.
And you got a family that loves you.
Yes, I do.
So you wanted to ask some questions. All right, board op, introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm Carlos Valencia. I'm the board operator for this show. And Carrie told me to kind of chime in. And then the only thing I just wanted to ask was kind of go around kind of in a circle or a half circle in our case. But just for every single guest, every single person in the room, just step into your mics and then just say in one sentence what is something you want our listeners to take away from your message in general.
All right, again, my name is Julianne, and I'm an alcoholic. The one thing that I would have to say to everybody out there is this disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful. Part of my story is relapse. It doesn't have to be yours, but if it is, pick yourself up again, dust yourself off, and do the work. Just do the work.
Thanks, Julianne.
And my name is Ryan Davis, and I'm an addict. And, you know, guys, you only get one life. You only get one life, and messing around with the stuff that's out there today is at best a 50-50 gamble each time, and it's not worth it, not even once. So think about that. Remember, you only get one, and do it right.
Patrick. My name is Patrick Sinagher, and I'm an addict. And two things I kind of want to say real fast is your bottom is when you stop digging. And I promise you, you will get lower and lower if you keep going out there. Everything I said I wouldn't do, I have done, and worse. And I just want to say that I am sorry to my loved ones. And I'm sorry to Amanda, and I love you, and I'm sorry that I did all the things I've done. You're not at fault. I am.
You know what? Be sorry to yourself.
And I am very sorry to myself. And I need to say to myself that I am worth it.
Yeah, you do.
And I am freaking worth it, and I can do this.
What's your name?
Patrick Sinagher, and I am worth it.
You're damn right you
That's
are.
Right, Patrick.
Jerry?
Jerry, addict, alcoholic, just love yourself. Love yourself. Love the Lord. And be positive.
Do things that allow you to love yourself.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And be mad at the alcohol and drugs. If you think you have a problem with alcohol and drugs, then you do. If you have to question, am I drinking too much, then you do. If you have to question, am I taking too many Xanax, then you do. If you have to question, maybe I don't need these painkillers anymore, then you don't. So we know what's going on inside ourselves. We know what we're doing. And this is to all the parents out there too that are listening. I know a lot of parents listen to this. If you're a parent and you have a child, be to your parent what you want your kid to grow up and be.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes, you can.
Is, just like when you're doing drugs out there, if you're young, you ain't living, man. It's like it's all a facade. It's like, you know, you're inexperiencing life. You know, you're wasting it away. So get it right when you're young if you can. So it's all. Amen.
That's right, Jerry. And hey, let's pretend you're young and
yes, I am.
You're not using it anymore. So here's what I want to say to you guys before we close. When we're young, we have. Remember those contracts that I talked about?
Yes, sir.
Get them again. Get the contracts that you had when you were young. I'm not going to drink or use anything anymore. I'm not going to do anything to hurt myself anymore. I'm not going to do anything to hurt anyone else anymore. I'm going to take care of business. I'm going to be a role model. I'm going to make this thing work for myself. And you're all freaking worth it.
That's right.
Until next week, this is the Action Drug Rehab Hour. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you.